Mill is discussing Kola Olo Yibum. We'll try to continue with this on Thursday. And then we'll try to figure out where we'll go from there, because there are a lot of other very good topics, obviously, to discuss. So the, circle back for a minute to what we were, to the last thing that we were discussing. So again, what we were trying to show is that, you could take a very, the idea that there would be chalitza as long as there is zika is probably the most logical position to take, especially if you're navigating between two klalim, kala ola liyibum on the one hand, and, something like Rav Gidol, if he exists, lamaskana on the other. But either way, logically also, the distinction between the idea that for yibum, zika isn't enough, but, you have to consider, both... the Maisa Avera, per se, or whatever the difficulty is, as well as, the impact that has. But, it's, again, per se is a Maisa Avera, and also the impact that has on, what I call Kedushas Ishus of Yibum. But that doesn't necessarily, have to translate, into an exclusion of Chalitza or limitation on Chalitza. Because, there is no violation, typically. If you do an act of chalitza to someone, on the contrary, it seems like, oh, so you're emphatically, it's like getting a get, as we'll discuss. So, A, there's no maisa vera, and B, there's, no what I call sensitivity issue, or the equivalent of kedushas ishus shel yibum issue, because... the whole point is that you're being merachay, you're not being makarev, you're not creating an ishus, you're not, making an exception to the iser of eshasach. So as long as there is a zika, the idea that there should be a chalitza is certainly reasonable. And therefore, any, situation where there's a zika and there's no chalitza, is the one that probably, is a little bit more pressured. And for that, we need to go further, and to suggest that, that the parallel with Yibum, is relevant as well. Meaning, even if technically there is a Zika, in addition to the question how you define a Zika and whether it's defined by Tfisas Kedushin in one direction or the other. But however, let's assume there is a Zika, the idea that you still, would limit Chalitza in cases where there's a Hafkas Yibum, I guess that's what makes sense on the next level. But what is a hafkas yibum? That becomes more of an open question, right? So, for example, hava mita the Gemara that chai ve'labin, or in that line in the Yerushalmi and in the Medrash Halacha, even they don't go back on it. Even though ase is dochalos ase, and even though there's tvisas kiddushin and the equivalent. That nonetheless, like an Iser, if you were to say im yibem lo kana, excludes an effective yibum. That might be a good reason to think that something is mufka, from yibum, depending on what the nature of the obstacle is. But again, especially if it's a yibum, an internal yibum obstacle, like yibum has higher standards, yibum is more sensitive, etc. And that's exactly what we were, looking at. So the question is, what defines that? So, for example, that was one of the reasons I was suggesting in the Gemara that, if you're comparing the Hava Mina on Chaf Amud Aleph, that we don't apply the normal din of Aseh Dochalos Aseh, in Chai Ve'Lavin, with the Maskana that we do, right? But that Ein Aseh Dochalos Aseh V'Aseh, right? So in trying to figure out, which would be a bigger chisaron, vis-a-vis, the Chalitza part, the Hava Mina, of excluding any lav, or the Maskana, of the exclusion of lav v'aseh, right? So on the one hand, if you were just, looking at it, objectively, you know, in terms of like the regular hierarchical way of looking at things. So of course you would say, well, if the Hava Mina thought that Chayvei Lavin might derail, you know, Chalitza, right, then Kol Shekein, you know, in the Mas, even though it's against the norm of, you know, Ase Do Chalos Ase, so, you know, then it's no-brainer to think, it's Kol Shekein to think, that, you know, when you encounter, you know, the universal rule, you know, that, you know, formidable, more formidable obstacle, seemingly, of Ase Valav, then, you know, of course, you know, that could end up spilling over into Yibum. Again, whether we're talking about the question of the, Chalitza, whether we're talking about the impact on Chalitza or whether we're talking about, you know, Avar, the Yibem Kana, as far as I'm concerned, for this issue, it's the same question. So that's normally what you would think. However, you know, in light of this additional, I guess, perspective, you know, that may not be true. Because the point is that, you know, the problem of Ase V'Lav is a universal problem, right? And even though it's, you know, objectively a more formidable obstacle that, you know, because it's, you know, it can't be overridden even universally, right? But again, it's not, you know, it's not unique to Yibum. And therefore, you might be able to say that Lemaisa there's no Yibum, Befoal there's no Yibum. But that doesn't mean there's no chiyuv yibum or chalos yibum, or it's not a hafgas yibum. Again, you know, Baruch and I don't know, but we talked about this a little bit last night. The language doesn't matter to me so much. I've been, you know, trying to, you know, use language that highlights a certain perspective, like an internal, you know, core flaw in yibum, you know, as opposed to, you know, you just can't implement this and you can't do it, or there's ambivalence, there's a chiyuv, or there's a kiyum, but it's overridden. So my point is that then you might end up, whether it's in yibem, avar v'yibem kana, or it is kana v'lo kana, or the impact on chalitza, you know, you might end up, you know, with the ironic view that the hava mina, you know, is a more severe hafka than the maskana. Right? Even though on a hierarchical, objective, generic, you know, plane, right? Welcome back. The opposite is true. Okay. So that's one thing that I wanted to make clear. But then as you keep moving, you know, again, so it's, and I think that is really what the Ramban is getting at as well. And that's really what I was trying to explain towards the end of, I guess, Sunday's shiur. And that is that the Ramban is explaining that Me'uberes is worse or is a bigger exclusion than Ase V'Lav. That's really what he's trying to argue. Because when it comes to Ase V'Lav, assuming that Doraisa, there is Chalitza, right? So, you know, why, you know, is that less of an exclusion, you know, than Mu'beris? And again, objectively, you could argue this question because, you know, Ase V'Lav is a definitive no, right? And Mu'beris, according to Reish Lakish, you know, is a maybe a temporary no, but not necessarily a permanent no, you know, because if it turns out that the, you know, child is not viable, even according to Reish Lakish, there's going to be, you know, not only Chalitza, but Yibum and Chalitza. So again, that's what's so intriguing and challenging about all these cases is that you have to put them all on paper and look at them, but you know, they're not predictable at all, and they all touch on, or many of them touch on, two different issues. One is assessing, you know, the nature of the exclusion in each case in a very subtle way, meaning befoal you can't do yibum, there's ambivalence and therefore you can't do yibum. You know, it's mufke legamri miyibum, even though there is tfisas kiddushin, or maybe even zika, etc., etc., as well as what level of exclusion is required, right, in order, you know, to impact things like, you know, emyibem kano, we talked about that already, as, you know, or eshesach, surfacing, or the exclusion of chalitza. Okay, so basically the idea of the Ramban, you know, is to answer that question, and that's why the Ramban, you know, ends up kind of downplaying ase v'lav here and calling it, you know, mishum davar acher. And so that in itself is controversial. As I said, it seems to me like the Rajba is trying to avoid calling ase v'lav mishum davar acher. Yeah, the avnei miluim, and, you know, responding to the question of achronim, you know, wants to say it for him, but he doesn't say it. And actually here, on Lamed Hayom Beis, you know, when the Ramban said it, you know, he could have just copied it over like he copied over the rest of it, but instead he says, you know, he mentions the ribuya. So it seems like he's avoiding it. So, you know, his davar acher, you know, doesn't, you know, stops at, you know, at least almana nesua l'kohen gadol ase v'lav. Noderis, I think, you know, is a different matter. There he seems more inclined, even though it's also ase v'lav, but it's, you know, it's a different kind of ase v'lav, maybe, that it's also a chiddush. So he doesn't want to say that this is, you know, for him, tznai, you know, is gorem nigram ayidei davar acher. And even sota vada is nigram, you know, ayidei davar acher. That's the biggest chiddush. And, you know, noderis, you know, is also that, but it seems like ase v'lav is not. This is just like case studies and, you know, not just to drive you crazy, but they really provide a window and insight, you know, into each of these things and the arguments that can, you know, really exist. Whereas the Ramban, you know, is basically saying that, you know, ase v'lav is, and, you know, maybe he's the first one to use this exact language here, you know, nigram ayidei davar acher. And, you know, and that's in contrast with Me'uberes. So Me'uberes, you know, emerges, according to the Ramban, as something which is like a more fundamental exclusion. And it's clear in the Ramban, that's what we were saying, I don't want to spend the whole time going over it again, but, you know, there are two kanumiyados, there are two lo kanumiyados. There's a lo kanumiyado of ase v'lav. So lo kanumiyado, which could have been affected by this, in this case, you know, is not. So it's not, you know, useful as the litmus test, because our two lo kanum, there's a lo kanum miyado, which is befoal, and there's a lo kanum miyado, which is fundamental, basically, which is what he is, what he's saying. And maybe the fact that there, you know, is no other reason than the sensitive relationship of, you know, this particular factor, right now we're talking about Mu'uberes, you know, and there is no other universal. Maybe that's part of why, you know, that is that makes it more rather than less. In a similar fashion to what I was arguing before about the havamina of lav and the maskana of lav yaseh. So therefore, what the Ramban seems to be saying is that there could be zika, you know, and at the same time there can be, you know, a hafkas yibum or no chiyuv or no shame. Maisa Yibo. And that's how he understands Me'uberes. You could have said that that's not the Pshat and Me'uberes, even according to Reish Lakish. Maybe the Pshat and Me'uberes, according to Reish Lakish, is what I call a soft suffake. I'll say this way. It could be a hard suffake without being mufka, you know, me chalos Yibum or shame Yibum. That could also be, you know, a category. Or it could be even a soft suffake. Just a soft suffix, which, you know, where you don't say lamafreya, you know, depending on how you read, you know, the Gemara. But the Ramban, by characterizing, you know, Me'uberes as Eishes Ach, is obviously making a very strong statement. And the fact that he doesn't mean it completely, because it contradicts the previous piece, I think that's very critical, shows you that you can, you know, look at, you can speak about Eishes Ach, not in terms of the Iser, but the shame. And that's helpful, you know, for the other things that we have seen along the way as well. So that's why I think the Ramban is so important. And then in light of that, the suggestion that the, you know, Hadvarim Tzrichim Talmud on Beis Amud Aleph with regard to Tznai, where again the Rajba, is convinced, like, you know, that Ein Lacha Davar Shenigra Mai Davar Acher Godol Mitznai, and partially based on the Ramban's own analysis, you know, that she's a Grusha Gemura. Not an Eishes Ish, you know, at least as a candidate. So, but the Rajba, that's the Rajba, but the Ramban, at least Tzorich Talmud, and, you know, whether his Maskana is based on Safek or his Maskana is based on Vadai, hard to know. You know, I'm just happy that he registered the Tzorich Talmud part, because, again, it's an important window. It means he was struggling with it. Doesn't seem like he's struggling so hard with Milberes. Again, so it seems to me that the pattern or that the, you know, precedent is the same. And what he's saying is, I could have been mechalek, you know, between Meuberes, you know, and Tanai. There's no shame, Eishes Ach, right now, in this, you know, the word, which is what you have in Meuberes' hard suffix, you know, situation, you know, the Ayin Allah. But, you know, what there is something else, and that is there's a Vadai, you know, Hafkos, you know, Maisa Yibum, you know, if you try to do it. It's, you know, a tremendous hafka. So maybe that's also Koveya with regard to, you know, the shame Maisa Yibum. So there's a Zika. In both cases, there's a Zika. The Zika wasn't Paka. The whole point of the previous Ramban on Lamed Hey is that you're never going to say no Zika and then, you know, pop. Zika doesn't pop in and out. You know, that's what Twitter people, you know, are more comfortable with in general. So that's what I think emerges from the Ramban. And the Rajba, you know, has, you know, similar, I think, criteria in many respects, but is much more expansive in, you know, the list of Chalitza B'Liyibum. It also includes Safek Sota B'Toras Vadai, as we saw. And, you know, it's just interesting that notwithstanding all of that, there's still a kind of a machlokes, you know, a little bit, you know, in some of the cases where the Ramban goes further, you know, he just assesses, you know, the problems, you know, in a different way. Okay, that's both with regard to Asei V'Lav on one side and with regard to Tanai on the other. So it's just very interesting to put those, shittos together. Having said that, we should mention one other shita. And that is, like, you know, in the other direction. So where there is, you know, again, Afka, which is more significant. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When you're exploring the Rajba about Sota Vadai,
yeah.
Is it the only way to read his language on that Chaf that he's talking about in the same phrase of Davar Acher Garmu? His words are Ela Shema'aseha Hara'im Garmula, and it's not that she's Mishum Erva, she's Lamedli Vasimum, but Ma'aseha Hara'im Garmula. He doesn't use the same exact phrase. It's possible to read between the times he uses,
yeah, right. I think, but he's contrasting it. All I'm saying is that
the Ritva, I think, uses the same phrase of Davar Acher Garmula.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that at the time. Okay. Yeah, I just mean that he. Either way, it's a very astonishing way to look at Sota Vadai. Okay, so I just don't think that it's unrelated. You know, but you're technically correct, and you're right. I mean, the Ritva has that language there more than the Rajba. I'm just pointing out that the Rajba is. I don't think the Ritva could say what he said if the Rajba didn't say what he said. Put it that way. So it's and I don't think the Rajba could have said what he said, which would lead the Ritva to say what he said, if the Rajba didn't say it, you know, by Tznai and Oderis and so on. I think it's part of a certain mahal, is what I'm trying to say.
And even though he uses different words, we should assume.
Yeah, I think there's a certain, you know, mentality. You know, that's what I think. Now, in the opposite direction, where the Zika, you know, is complete, and there's no, you know, fundamental hafka'a, you know, then chalitza being excluded, you know, puts greater pressure on the other perspective, you know, and that is, it's not the common denominator, you know, and it's not, you know, the exclusion of Yibum on fundamental grounds, you know, and so on. but it's more, you know, pragmatic, you know, to emphasize the word like chafetz. You know, this person has no choice. You know, there's no, the curse of chalitza, the evil of chalitza, whatever you want to call it, you know, just doesn't apply. I think that becomes the next level. And then the question is how far to push that. Or, going even further, if you want to say it's either Gzeiras HaKasuv, or that, you know, what's meant by the Gzeiras HaKasuv is that, you know, their Yibum and Chalitza, you know, exist as alternatives. And somehow, you know, one without the other just is not viable, can't survive. So again, just a couple of examples of that, going back to things that we already saw, and that is, I want to talk about the rush for a minute. The rush on Nida. All right, what is the rush on Nida? Ara? It's from a while ago, but... So if we remember, there was the Balei Tosis on the Rosh and the Chachmei Tzarfat were all very taken with this question, right? Why isn't either Nida in the Mishnah, or why isn't the din of the Mishnah applicable to Nida, that there should be a Petur Tzara? And obviously, it would seem to be a Hafkos, if you say the Mishnah part anyway, Hafkos Chalitza, right? In the case of Nida. Right? Even on that, I think we mentioned at the time that the Hafkos Chalitza part, you know, is not so clear, that Reb Chaim, you know, thought, again, I would say that, you know, the default, especially if you're talking about fitting this into the Mishnah, even if you're not talking about fitting into the Mishnah, you're talking about a Ptur Tzara, so the likelihood is that you're talking about Hafkos Chalitza in addition to Yibam. I think that's like the default view. Reb Chaim thought it wasn't true. He just thought that even, you know, in that question, or maybe in Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz's, you know, answer, except Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, it doesn't work because he really is talking about the Mishnah, that there would be, you know, a p'tur, there would be an erva, you know, kind of p'tur yibum and a tzara, even though, but there would still be chalitza. So that, I think, is very intriguing in its own right. Because if you're counting Nida, you know, as an erva or enough dumya da'achos ishto, you know, that it has a p'tur tzara, you know, and still you're not applying that, you know, to chalitza. So, you know, of course, it's complicated in Nida because there is likely a zika, no matter what. Or you would think that there is, because it's Tfisas Kiddushin. Put it this way. If Zika is defined by Tfisas Kiddushin, so there is a Zika. If the whole point, according to this perspective, is that, you know, again, Yibam is even more sensitive in terms of Tfisas Zika than Kiddushin, which is certainly possible also, as we discussed, you know, then... You know, fine. Then they're, you know, even more so. Like, you know, then you would think that this should not affect chalitza. But either way, assuming that there is, since it's Tfisas Kiddushin, that there is zika, so it's a case where, you know, you're excluded from yibum in a semi-fundamental way, right? Because the gavra is an erva, or at least the maisa yibum would be erva. Right, and nonetheless, he's insisting that there is chalitza, so that becomes an important category. But that's more of an outlier. The majority view, right, is that we don't think that nida is poter tzara, and we don't think it's like an erva, you know, with respect to, or at least not an erva like the other case of the Mishnah. So, and we don't apply the din of nesra, let's say, right. Nonetheless, that's when the rush swoops in. What's the rush? The what? No. Okay, that's the reason. Correct. I mean that Tosa says too, but the rush goes further and says therefore she's not an Arab. That Tosa doesn't say. So that's true. But that's what I'm zeroing in on at the moment. That's the reason why there's no Ptur Tzara. But what does that have to do with our topic right now? But then the Rush has two deos about Chalitza. Correct? Yeah, did you?
Isn't it like whether or not, even if there's no Yivam, whether or not there's going
to
be Chalitza?
Meaning, because let's say Nida, according to this view, that there's no Nasra, so she's not Mufkas Miyibum permanently, but still, at this point in the Gemara, right, or even in general, but before, at this point in the Gemara, before the Ad Tosis and the Rush add the Gemara in Psachim, right, they're assuming that even if there isn't a Nasra, if you wouldn't say Mivem Kana, correct? Which means that right now, as long as she's a Nida, she's excluded from Yibam. And now the question is, according to this view, right, is there Chalitza? Right? That is the, we have the language? Go ahead.
I'm going to start from the beginning or just start from the...
Yeah, this part. I think after he explains why Nida Zerva and not therefore not a Kurva thing and so on.
The
Ace Nidasa, meaning there's no Nasra, but she's Labas Yibum. And this is before quoting the Gemara in Psachim, which we know anyways is still controversial, right? So they're assuming now that Im Yibem Lo Kana, so some Mufka Miyibum in a pretty serious way, and there's Erva, there's no Erva, I'm sorry, but there's Krisus, yeah.
So Chalitza ta Chalitza. V'lo dami l'chalitzas l'uberet, v'lo shma Chalitza. L'ri shlakish, l'cham v'erk ha'cholitz.
Ah, so that is, of course, keep read the whole thing, go ahead.
Mishum de'ina ol l'yibom, sh'ani nida she'omeret l'shvov l'tayar k'derach kol anashem, aval m'uberet sh'amateled v'od, the af in ba'alei av nidasa kanak the muchach b'psach l'perek ilivarem, kamar of Yochanan, ish nida ba'al chayv yimim.
Okay, fine. And then you can skip to the last line. And therefore, so basically, I just want to get two things out of this. Basically, one is that there end up being two deos in the Rush, whether or not if there's no Nasra Nida, but it's a temporary Eino Yibum. Right, im yibem lo kana, would there be an exclusion of chalitza? Yes or no? Right, the first daya says yes. I'm sorry, the first daya says no, and the second daya, basically says, for all intents and purposes, saying yes, except that there's one other factor here, namely im yibem. Kana, but in Akanami, that's the only reason why it's not a problem of him eno lo liyibum, eno olo lechalitza. Meaning, eno lo liyibum, eno olo lechalitza, in theory, would apply, or there's a dea that it would apply, even for something which vadai temporarily, is only an obstacle temporarily. So that, of course, is a very significant escalation. Maybe we could totally understand why, the Rush, is initially comfortable saying this, because it is kares, that is the obstacle, but it's by definition, as I say, a temporary and an extraneous, limitation. There's no, relationship problem. It's a maisa krisus at the moment, right? And it, you can predict, with great practical certainty, right, that that this is a aberration, and that it will, be corrected, in time and with a little bit of action. So the idea that would be excluded, on the basis of kol sheino liyibum eino lechalitza, is a little bit shocking. So that represents, I don't know if it's the most extreme, but it's a pretty extreme view. It seems to say either that even in the moment you have to have the option of Yibum and to be, squandering it or rejecting it, in order, you know, for there to be, you know, a need for a chalitza, right? Or, you know, simply that the hagdara of chalitza technically depends on the alternative of yibum, meaning chalitza and yibum definitionally only exist together. And by that, what I mean is, you know, just to highlight that other point, I mean, the first point I think we all understand, but the second point, you know, just to make it a little, in addition to being just Xeris HaKasuv, I just to highlight it a little more, if you look at the way, you know, some of the discussions about, you know, should you count Yibum and Chalitza once or twice, right? Mm-hmm. Two mitzvahs or one mitzvah? And the Rambam's, you know, parallel discussion, even more impressive in a way, about Pidyon, you know, Beseb, you know, and Arifas, you know, Chamor. So the Rama basically says, I know, very similar actually to his discussion about, you know, in terms of length or some of the language, you know, the Al Yekshe, you know, about tomorrow, Pesach, and Matzah that I was referring to the other day, which is, the Rama says, I know you're going to ask me, you know, that, you know, we really shouldn't count, you know, two separate mitzvos, you know, for the two alternatives you know, what to do with Petar Chamor, says the Rambam. However, in fact, you know, the Mishnah does, he says, you know, you would have thought that they were just details, you know, of one single mitzvah. You know, certainly it would make sense that way. Anybody have the language of the Rambam open? Is it up there? Or you go ahead. Yeah.
He
says, however, I'm very influenced by the language of the Mishnah, which says mitzvah, mitzvah, and by the paradigm of Yibam and Chalitza. What number is it? Meaning, me logic alone, we would have thought that this would be a single mitzvah, and the mitzvah would be to solve the problem of Petar Chamor. And there are two methods to do that. And these are details. These are pratim. And as he says, as I write in the Shurashim, right, you don't, you know, prate mitzvah of us that are really under the rubric of a single mitzvah, you know, they don't get separate counting. Go ahead.
Amram mitzvahs pidia kodemus mitzvahs arifa, mitzvahs yibum kodemus mitzvahs chalitza. Ukemosh hayibama muchanas im leyibum im lechalitza, vayibum mitzvah vachalitza mitzvah, kol achas mitzvah b'pnei asma, kemosh nizkar kein petar chamor muchan ol pidia ol arifa, v'zum mitzvah v'zum mitzvah kemosh amar.
So again, it's just very interesting, the, of course, you know, the inclusion of both in the Mishnah Bechoros, the fact that the Rambam also, you know, takes the opportunity to, like, develop, you know, his perspective on Abba Shaul, frankly, you know, and, you know, his view of Hutra and Abba Shaul in Pirsha Mishnayos and Bechoros, shows that he, you know, that the, you know, takes very seriously, you know, in both directions, you know, this equation. And I think that that is very significant. Maybe we'll have more to say about that later. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, you could have thought that these are, you know, two different mitzvos. You know, the only thing is, you do one, you know, that makes the other one, either you're pota from the other one, or renders the other one, unnecessary or just, you know, non-viable. Again, it goes back to, again, a lot of the formulations that we encountered in the Rivash and the Tashbates about Nishpa Levatel, right? You know, if it was pitaron hazika, it would be one mitzvah, you know, with two, you know, methods. You know, if it's, you know, you have two options here, two mitzvos. There's a method of richuk and a method, it's like there's a get and there's a, you know, and then there's a nesuin. You know, these aren't just two ways of solving the problem. These are two separate mitzvos. Like you have a yavama or a zika, right? And there are two opposite, you know, ways to take care of this. And they're separate mitzvos, just that obviously you can't do them both. But there's another possibility, and that is that, you know, we also see them as alternatives, is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, maybe there wouldn't be Yibum without Chalitza, and there wouldn't be Chalitza without Yibum. Not that there wouldn't be Chalitza without Yibum, you know, is very compelling. You know, and it goes, you know, a little bit into the space of the previous possibility, namely Chalitza, you know, is kind of the tikkun for Yibum. So it's a tikkun. You only need a tikkun, you know, when you can implement it and you refuse to. And that's why the Rekika and the you know, the Amira and, you know, and so on and so forth. So the idea that, but even if you don't see Kol Olal Yibum, Olal Chalitza, Kol Shein Olal Yibum, Olal Chalitza in that way, you see it more in the way that I'm talking about now. It's like, you know, these come together. They're separate mitzvos, but the, you know, one makes the other one, defines the other one, or makes the other one as an alternative possible. So the idea is that the idea that there's no chalitza bli yibum is certainly very reasonable. But there's also a good reason to think that there's no yibum without chalitza. And especially, you know, if you look at it, you know, in terms of a bit of a kind of a, you know, a safety valve. In other words, he has to have the option, you know, of chalitza, you know, as well. Meaning these two are, it's the strategy is to do one or the other, even though there's a preference for one over the other, even though part of the other is chalitza, is, you know, is a, you know, an acknowledgement of, you know, the tikkun needed by, you know, bypassing, you know, the preferred one, that still, in the end of the day, the option, you know, of one is still critical to the definition of the other. So as I say, in chalitza to yibum, it's clear, but in yibum to chalitza, it should be clear as well. And especially if you think, you know, and, you know, you don't want to trap him, you know, keneged ritzono, that he doesn't have an option. You want to encourage him as much as possible, ki yeshvu achim yachdav, to do the mitzvah of yibum. But even if you don't hold like Abba Shaul, right, which is, you know, the extreme, that you have to have, you know, perfect lishma in order to extricate yourself from, you know, eshes ach, either on a dechuya level or in terms of kedushas ishes shel yibum on a hutra level, which I prefer. Not exactly like the Rambam. Even if that is true, that we don't paskin like Abba Shaul, as we noted, there are a lot of echoes, you know, of the Abba Shaul idea, you know, especially in the views that underscore the higher sensitivity of Isha Shel Yibum, you know, to regular Tfisas Kiddushin, right? We're, you know, on the one hand, tremendously mekel, because we're being matir, eshes ach, you know, for the sake of this particular mitzvah. But at the same time, you know, we're only going to pursue this because of chidushot, like the language of the Rajba. We're only going to pursue it, you know, al taras hakodesh, if it's done in the right way. And therefore, the idea that there wouldn't be an option, as much as you want to, as much as you want to encourage Yibum, that there wouldn't be a possibility of chalitza, almost as an investment, you know, in Kedusha Sisha Shel Yibum, that's something that makes sense as well. So either way, that might determine, it might be an explanation for this idea that Yibum and chalitza, you know, are have to all, the alternative of one is necessary for the application of the other. Even if it's not, you know, something more direct like we have in Chalitza, namely that Chalitza, you know, is the response, you know, to willfully ignoring Yibam. Anyway, getting back to the Rush just for one more second. So I just think that either the Rush's extreme view, which is right now, at the moment when you cannot do Yibam, right, could you do, you know, could you do Chalitza? Right. So if the point was, you know, again, the Chiddush here is the notion that you would say kol she'ein ol l'yibam ein ol l'chalitza, you know, in something that is, you know, not just temporary, but as I say, predictably, you know, temporary. So, like, why would you ever say that? Like, why wouldn't you be able to do chalitza? But if you need, like, as part of every chalitza, the possibility of yibum, you know, that's just part of the definition of chalitza, then perhaps that applies to timing, you know, as well. I think even then it's a chiddush. Now, what's also curious about it is the way that, and this we noted when we first encountered it, and that is the use of me'uberes. Like, some of the Achronim were troubled by the language of the Rush, and that is like, what does he say, you know, and if you'll ask me, what about, you know, what about me'uberes, right? The answer is a difference between, you know, the suffek and me'uberes, right? Because we don't know. Maybe the vlad will be a vlad shel kayama, right? And they'll never be evil, right? As opposed to the case of neither. And some of that corner just make the ha'ara, like, why didn't he just say, you know, and if you'll ask me, you know, kola ola li'ibum, you know, ola l'chalitza, kol shein ola li'ibum, ena ola l'chalitza, you know, that's the Gemara on Daf Gimel, and that's the Gemara on Daf Chav, and all the other places in the Masechta, they quote the klal. So, like, why is, you know, me'uberes, you know, the right thing to quote? But as we said then, the answer is because me'uberes is already, you know, a different kind or an expanded view of kol ha'ol yibum in ol chalitza, in the sense that, you know, there is, you know, a zika. It's like if you're quoting, we'll get back to this in a second as well, like the Gemara on Daf Gimel, you know, Amud Aleph, or even the Gemara on Daf, you know, Chaf Amud Aleph, right? Let's say Chai Vekrisus in both cases, or Erva, Gimel Amud Aleph, we'll get to it in just a second. We've seen it already. You know, so then he could have just said that kol ha'ol yibum ol chalitza kol she'ein ol yibum ol chalitza, like Rashi, right? In ol lezikas yibum, with all the, we had a problem with Rashi. I still have a problem with Rashi in terms of the next line of Rashi. But the point is, that's a situation where, you know, the zika is the common, you know, denominator. And, you know, once that, you know, once you take care of that, so then, you know, of course it's totally obvious, you know, that in the case of, like, Nida, you know, even though it is Chavi Krisus, and, you know, maybe or maybe not, according to the Rush, not, there's no Shem Erba, but, you know, it is Chavi Krisus, but you're not going to say that there's no, you know, Zika. So that's not a problem. But you see from the Mu'beres case, that even in a case where, you know, there is a Zika, that we still apply the din of Kol Ha'ola. So I think they say this, that B'chon Vassarman says this, has a suggestion also, but I think it's clear that that's what the Rush has in mind. What is the Rush's answer? So I just think it's a little bit different from the Ramban, meaning the Ramban sees Me'uberes, just an interesting Ha'ara, right? The Ramban sees Me'uberes as, you know, as being mufka b'yibum for the reasons that we said. There's a shame, eshes ach, you know, because, as I said, you know, it's a hard suffix. and it's a hard suffek, you know, with consequences that it's mufka miyibum, and therefore it's mufka mechalitza as well. It seems like the Rosh doesn't hold that way so much. Maybe the Rosh thinks that it's, you know, it remains a suffek, but for Reish Lakish, the suffek is ma'akev, you know, the yibum, even if it's a soft suffek. But in the end of the day, it's, you know, it's still a suffek. And, you know, that is enough to distinguish it from Nida. There were some questions? Yeah.
Maybe we're just contrasting with Beres and the Ramban, and the Rosh. The Rosh is still applying culture in the Ola to the Beres, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying...
And their mind is also recognizing the application of culture. They're both agreeing to the application.
Yeah, they're both agreeing. I'm just saying for the... saying is that for the Ramban, has to work hard to explain Muberes, you know, in this case. And he has to do that, he has to explain that there's a Shem Eishasach, which is not obvious at all, even according to Reish Lakish. I'm only saying that the Rush doesn't seem to have to work so hard, right? He's basically saying that, you know, as long as it isn't Nida, right, which is, you know, just a timing factor, right, then it's enough to say about Mu'beres, you know, that it's a real suffix. All I'm saying is that if you want to just isolate, I'm not saying that the Rosh necessarily disagrees with the Ramban. What I'm saying is that his emphasis in the Mu'beres part doesn't get anywhere near to the to the level of Hafkah that the Ramban is referring to. It could be it's Lashitaso, meaning, you know, there's a second Deya in the Rush, you know, that thinks that even Nida, you know, as something that is only a temporary problem, albeit one which is Mechusar Maisa, maybe that makes it a little more, you know, maybe in the moment, you know, it's Eino Ola Liyibon. Even that would be enough, you know, for the principle. So if you say, oh, okay, not that far, but practically, then you don't need to say very much about Mu'beres, you know, to justify not, you know, compromising, you know, Chalitza, you know, and this relationship between Chalitza and Yibam. Whereas the Ramban, again, if the Rush were addressing, it would be, you know, good to know the question of, you know, Ase Velos Ase and its relationship to Mu'beres, you know, that would be more helpful. But at least in this context, that's why I say I'm not sure about it. In this context, you're getting a different impression. You have a much lower threshold to explain Kola Ola. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Having said that, let's go back to Gimel Amud Aleph also just for one more minute. But before that, did you have a question? No. Does somebody else have a question? We're good. Good. I'm not looking for trouble. Good. So let's go back to Gimel Amud Aleph just for a minute as well. And that is... So we mentioned that, you know, the other day, that Gimel Amud Aleph is a case of Tzara. But that isn't so simple either, as we noted. And I just want to remind everybody, I guess, that of the discussion we had earlier in the year. And that, you know, but again, it goes back to what we discussed on Daf Chaf. On Daf Chaf, as we noted, there was like a moment in the Gemara where the Gemara considered the possibility that Chai Bekrisus would have Chalitza but no Yibam, right? And that would be that Rav Gidel would apply, you know, to Chai Bekrisus. Again, it's always hard to know, you know, this is like a moment, you know, in the Gemara. It's hard to know how seriously to take it. My tendency, you know, as you know, is mostly to take these things very seriously because I think you can... They're intended as serious possibilities. Sometimes the Rishonim will say it's a Dechiya B'Alma, you know, it's not really something you should focus so much on. But, you know, default, I assume that these are important, you know, lines. And that's why I was saying either that means that Chai Bekrisus, you know, there is a Zika Liyibum, you know, even though there's no Tfisas Kiddushin, right? Or it means... that, you know, there are two types of Zikas. There's a Zika L'Yibam and a Zika L'Chalitza, right? And, And as such, this idea that, you know, there could be two different kinds of zikas at the same time, you know, which again highlights that yibam and chalitza are not necessarily, you know, solving even the same problem. They're simultaneous, you know, kind of ways of looking at the problem of, you know, Esha Sameis itself. They're like two tracks, and maybe the tracks include different zikas at the same time, and therefore you can have, you know, chalitza, even though there's no zika liyibum, because there's no tefisas kiddushin. So that's why it's an important havamina to capture. But the point is that you, according to the simple reading of the Gemara, that's what the Gemara's havamina was on Gimel and Aleph as well. We mentioned the other day that it's about tsaras erva, that is shitas haritva, that we talked about at the time. Obviously, the Ritva was trying to avoid even the Havamina, you know, that there would be Chalitza B'liyibum, you know, in Chayvei Krisus. That's why he suggests that the Havamina was only about Tsaros. And as we noted also, the Tos Yeshanim thought that when the Gemara and Gimel Lamed Aleph suggested that in Chayvei Krisus of some sort, or Tsaros, or Chayvei Krisus, that there would be chalitza b'liyibum, that it was referring to a heter or a mitzvah of chalitza, you know, even when there was no need for the heter of chalitza. Well, we talked about it at the time. I'm just reminding you, but what I think is interesting about all these things is that they were assiduously avoiding, you know, the idea that, you know, the Gemara would need a gzeiras hakasuv. And let me just add that here as well, right? Is the Gemara quoting a Gzeres HaKasuv when it says Kola Ola Liyibum? So I think, as we noted, on Daf Chaf, it does sound like a Gzeres HaKasuv. It sounds like Kola Ola is based on the Pasuk. Kola Ola Liyibum Ola Chalitza is based on Amar Kra Im Lo Yachpot Ish Lakachas HaChafetz, right? Miyabim. Kola Ola Liyibum Ola Chalitza Kosh Eina Liyibum Eina Ola Lachalitza. But on Gimel and Aleph, it sounds like it's more, you know, as far as something that the Mefarshim note. Even on Daf Chaf and Aleph, there are two ways to learn it, right? One is that it's a Gzeres HaKasuv. That's the way it sounds. But if you take the view that Chalitza is defined by the preference and the, you know, exclusion of Yibum, just it should be noted, you don't have to say it's Gzeres HaKasuv. It's, you know, just, I don't say Darshin and Tam B'Dikra, but it could just be the definition. Torah says, Im lo yachbot sa'ish lakachas, right? Hachafetz, you know, miyabim. And what the klal is telling you is, not that there's Gzeres HaKasuv, you know, either about the commonality of Zika, or there being only one Zika, you know, or some that you need, you know, each alternative depends on the presence of the other. No, it's just telling you that being chafetz, having the option of yibum, is part of the definition of what chalitza is. Okay, anyways, but, you know, this really is the question of Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, even without Rav Gidol, whether there was a true Havamina that Chayvei Krisus would have Chalitza B'liyibum. I say that happens to be a Machlokes. The Balei Tosis were troubled here by this as well, as we noted. Tosis says, Afagav de Misefa Shaminan, de Beresha lo boi Chalitza, de Ketani Besefa kol sheichol alamai, mikol mokom nicha nami lashmeinan Beresha gufe. So it's hard to know what that means. If you look on the side, they tell you to look at Tosus in Menachos, Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, Diramas HaKol Somchin. So that is, that's what Tosus talks about, this idea that Tosus there makes it sound like some from somebody has it up just very quickly. The bottom of the Tosus, Dibur HaMaskil HaKol. The Tosus basically says sometimes, not Tosus in Menachos, Menachos is not talking about this topic. Matosis wants to give an example of sometimes where you have like a shakla v'tarya, you know, but it's kind of just, you know, a dechia bialma. You know, Tosis, even more than what I think Tosis says here, Tosis gives the example of this shakla v'tarya. Basically, Tosis says, like, it's very clear that chayvei krisos are excluded, you know, from chalitza. Right? There's no question about that. But, you have it? Where is it? It's on the bottom of Tosis. Yeah, one second. Hold on, one second. No. Yeah. No. Yeah, yeah. A little bit. Get a little down. Yes, one second. Yeah. FLP. Became Bereish Yivamos. Use as an example. So I'm Poteris Mishum Ditana Oseris. Havamina Oseris Liyavam. Liyavim. Avomichlat Scholza. Afogav. The whole milsa shamina become a masnisin da fido kalitza lo boy kidakatoni, right? Kol hayichol on the mind below miyana tzaras haletza is from the yavemes almod ino chafido kalitza lo boy, right? Otsan choltsu beis hilo machshirin, right? Iboy kalitza fido midraban on your postlon, right? Gabe meis p'tos shloshim bi'om de miniskadsha, right? So basically, he's using this as an example of kind of like a dechia bialma. But I think it's very interesting to the different views on the Rishonim. Number one is the only reason that it's a dechia bialma because there's a, you know, enough evidence to prove that it isn't so, or is it a dechia bialma because it's not sustainable logically that you could have chai bekrisus and you could have chalitza at the same time. Namely, this idea that there would be, you know, two zikos, or that, you know, this wouldn't be mafkia the zika, or at least you could have two zikos, you know, and a zika le chalitza, even b'chai bekrisus, is that something that is a sustainable idea, either for Rav Gidel or in this Gemara? That seems to be an interesting machlokes in its own right. One other ha'ara on this, and that is, you know, on the other side of it, a lot of people try to make a diuk in Rashi. That if you look at Rashi on Yud Amud Beis, and also Rashi in Sanhedrin, what is it, on Nun Gimel, so Rashi seems to say that that the chalitza in the case of the exclusion of chalitza in the case of chai bekrisus, you know, is novea from the limud of achos ishto, right? That's the, if you look at the Rashi here, Dirumaskal al hatzara. So Rashi says im haysad lo tzara v'niftera b'chalitza sa shazu d'chsiv beis chalutza nal. By Sachud Choletz, Vein Choletz. Oh, am I reading the right one? No. One second. Here, which is the Rashi here? Oh, V'chayv Yelavin. Yeah, sorry. V'chayv Yelavin b'nei Chalitza v'yibo ninu. That's the Gemara. This is the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, which we saw earlier in the year when we talked about Utra and Dechuya. Klomar Skuka Hilechz Yavim. Min chayve lavin, the ain iser lav poteres min achalitza. Deha me achos isha yalfinan shehi erva, the chayavin al zdona kares, the hilka chlamatzi le misnaya b'masnisa. So this Rashi, the parallel Rashi in Sanhedrin, on Nun Gimel Amin Aleph, seems to suggest that the reason that chayvei krisus are excluded from chalitza as opposed to chayvei lavin is derived from achos isha. So the question is, how does that fit with, you know, kol ha'ola liyibam ola l'chalitza, kol she'en ola liyibam ola l'chalitza? The pashtus, that's the makar that there's no chalitza b'chayve krisus. At least that's what the Gemara seems to say, right? And daf chav, right? So, yeah, so I think the simple pshat, people make much of this Rashi, but I think the simple pshat is that Rashi is simply explaining, and maybe this is Lashitaso, that the, you know, that it isn't so much Xeris HaKasuv as it is the discrepancy between Chai Ve'Krisus and Chai Ve'Lavin, you know, and the fact that there is, you know, Tfisas Kiddushin and Zika in Chai Ve'Lavin, you know, that is responsible for the distinction in terms of Kola Ola Liyibo Ola Chalitza. Now, that would be very much Lashitaso, not of the final words of Rashi, about Safek, but of the idea that Zika is the Koveya when it comes to Yibum and Chalitza's relationship. Yeah?
Yeah, I thought the Rashi on the Mishnah Daf Chaf sounds exactly like that.
Yeah?
Yeah. On the
Mishnah, the Chalitza. Which one?
The last, the Rashi on the Mishnah.
Grusha v'Chalitza l'Kohen, go ahead.
Sh'aber Rafa v'Aneis v'Nas v'Chalitza, the Grusha v'Shemes v'Chalitza, Sh'ari Tovsim v'Ol
v'Kidushin, great. Yalpina also meachos ishus. That's another one. Yeah, and he quotes, you know, Dav Gimel. So again, I think all the Rashi's together, you know, really. But again, they don't, you know, explain so much unless they say the Artudinim. You know, that other line, you know, in Rashi, you know, in some of the other, you know, cases, unless he holds that, like the Rama, you know, that everything else is Drabbanan, you know, and so on, or on the other extreme. Okay, so that's what I want to say about Rashi. Now I want to turn our attention, we have to stop in a couple of minutes, to another couple of issues. Yeah, so this idea that, we've seen, you know, the idea that it's only about Zika, in which case you probably, you might or might not need Xeris HaKasuv to teach you that, but again, it's all about Zika, or it's all about the nature of and the extent of the Hafka, even if there is a Zika, how Mufka is it from Yibum, as opposed to being something like, you know, Davar Acher Gorem, and, you know, how you define those things and what the line is between those things and how, you know, Kana or Eshesach, other things, you know, can Soros can be played off against that as well. And then we've also seen some Shitos that have like a more extreme view, including the Rush that we just encountered, you know, where, you know, even though it seems like, you know, you are, if you choose to do Chalitza, you know, Bizman, you know, that she's a Nida, you know, it's hard to say, you know, that that isn't, you know, a rejection of Yibum just because it's not an option this minute, you know, when it's so predictable. Not even predictable, it's just, you know, a matter of time, you know, when she's Omedes Li Yibum, and it's not even, you know, it is Mechusar Maisa in terms of, you know, the Hefse Kadam and the Maisa Tvila, but again, since those, as we discussed and talked about, you know, Tosis and Gittin and the Rishonim and Gittin and other planet Nida, since those things are expected, they're not, you know, Mechusar Maisa in a bigger way. So the idea that even then, you know, you would apply, there can't be Chalitza, you know, at a moment when there is no Yibum. And by the way, that rush is still different, you know, than, you know, other cases where Chalitza, you know, is excluded. You know, like, no one thinks, you know, that in that case, you know, she's Muteres, you know, Lashuk, obviously. The question is, if you were to do Chalitza at the moment, would it be significant since you can't do Yibum? But either way, these are kind of extreme expressions of this. So we find other extreme expressions of it, you know, as well, going back earlier in the year, right, when we talked about, you know, the Abu Dram and the Bala Itur, you know, the Brachos questions. Those have nothing to do with Zika. Those are cases where there is Yibum and Chalitza, you know, and even in the moment. And the question is whether, like, the standards that apply to Yibum, you know, are have to apply to chalitza or not. So, for example, you know, what was the idea of the Abu Dram? You know, according to Rabbi Yosef ibn Palat, right, that, you know, she can't make a bracha on chalitza, right, even though from her point of view, you know, it's not what, what those Rishonim call a mitzvah habav aveira, right? Not literally, but something like that. In other words, he can't make a bracha on chalitza, but, you know, she doesn't have that problem. So why can't she make a bracha on chalitza? But since, if according to that view, she's not mitzvah and therefore can't make a bracha on the yibum, since she's mufkas from the bracha on the yibum, so we apply the principle of kola ol yibum, ol chalitza, and so on. And as I mentioned then, obviously that has nothing to do with Zika, it has nothing to do with, you know, a hafka of yibum even when there is Zika. It doesn't even have anything to do with defining, you know, chalitza as the rejection of a preferred yibum, right? So you say, oh, you know, but here's, there's no choice. There is yibum and there's chalitza, they're both on the table here. We're just trying to figure out whether some of the prate dinim that apply, you know, to one apply to the other. And this obviously implies that kala ola yibum ola chalitza isn't just about any of these other things, which make the most sense, or at least not only about them, but it's also about the relationship between the two methods, you know, as parallels. Meaning, to what extent are yibum and chalitza, you know, opposites or parallels? Right. And, you know, it's a similar question to what we encounter, let's say, in Gittin and Kiddushin, right? Kiddushin being the parallel to yibum, Gittin being the parallel to chalitza, obviously. One is a makarev and the other is a merake. But it's different, you know, because in the case of Kiddushin, there too you have these questions. They revolve, again, I don't want to get deeply involved in this, but just the phenomenon. There it revolves around v'yatzav ha'isa. And that's why there's a, you know, there are acknowledged, you know, v'yatzav ha'isa halachos, where, you know, midigitin nishma le'kiddushin. Then there are the opposite direction as well. You sometimes take the hekesh of the yatzav ha'isa, you know, in the opposite direction. That's a second level. Then there are, you know, controversial, but let me say it this way. Then there are acknowledged cases where we certainly would never apply the yatzav ha'isa in principle, right? Because, you know, it wouldn't make sense to do so. I'll explain in a minute. I mean, Gerushin is Bal Karcha. From the Baal's point of view, Kiddushin, of course, is not, you know, and so on and so forth. And then there is, like, a lot of controversial cases, you know, in between in V'yatzav Ha'isa. Right? Both in the Gemara, there are cases, you know, Ketana, all sorts of things. Lishma of the, you know, of the Shtar, Kiddushin, and then in the Rishonim. You know, in a whole bunch of cases, Tol Gitech Nalgabe Karka is the equivalent to apply to Kiddushin. Many, many examples. So when it comes to Gittin and Kiddushin, on the one hand, again, what binds them together, where you say the Yatzav Ha'isa mostly, is when it comes to, you know, certain standards, and especially the idea that, you know, these are transformational. You know, you're changing the chalos of the this woman, you know, when she becomes an eshesish, when she becomes a chalos, let's say, grusha. And even then, of course, in one case you're creating, in the other place you're destroying or dismantling. And the question is, you know, which one, you know, is more, you know, of an avoda, which one is you know, a heavier lift, the creation or the destruction. It's something we discussed a lot last year. There's always more to talk about it, right? You could, obviously, on one level, Ishus is a creation. Nothing exists before it. Because Ishus is a creation, you know, you could either look at Gerushin you know, is just going back to the state of Pnuya and, you know, dismantling, you know, and therefore being far less. Or you could say, no, it's such a creation that you really, it's, you know, it's more than what created it. And therefore you really have to, you know, be makne, you know, her back to herself, you know, and you have to make her, you know, into a grusha. It's not, no such thing as unraveling the, Kedushin is not unravelable, or unravelable. Can I say that? Unravelable. It's not. So what you really have to do is, you know, create chalos gerushin. Again, I'm not going to discuss this right now, but so in terms of, like, you know, the level of das, edekium, you know, all sorts of, you know, issues. On the one hand, there's the parallel. Obviously, anything having to do with kiruv and richuk, you know, you're going to clearly, you know, go in opposite direction. What about shlichus? Is shlichus begerishin and shlichus bekedusha the same thing? Does the fact that one is bal karka, you know, deisha, and the other is only midas, what impact does that? That's the shaka v'tari, the Gemara in the second parak of kedusha. Meaning, there's a whole Torah around v'yatza v'haisa, and in general about the common parallel, you know, aspects of gittin v'kedushin and the totally opposite aspects of gittin v'kedushin. So in some sense, you have that in Yibum and Chalitza as well, except that, you know, there are important differences. And that is, you know, in gittin and kedushin, you're talking about two processes. And, you know, they're not alternatives at the same moment, obviously. And therefore, you know, on their own merit, you know, one, you know, couldn't exist, you know, without the other. I mean, the get is a reaction or response to the status of Kiddushin. You know, however you, you know, apply that. But, you know, obviously these are very distinctive, you know, processes with whatever parallels, you know, exist. But in the case of Yibum v'chalitza, right, you have to decide whether you want to be Makariv, you want to be Merakev. And, you know, therefore, you know, the, you know, part, half of the, I'm making up the number, part of the, you know, discrepancies of Gittin to Kedushin, the ones that are strictly speaking connected to, you know, being Merakev or Makariv, being Matir, being Oser, being Matir Liatzmo, being Matir Lekula Alma, being Oser Liatzmo, being Oser Lekula Alma, a lot of those parts parallel. But the fact that it's a decision, you know, that right now you could go either way at the same time, you know, and the fact that, you know, there is a connection maybe between them, that the Yibum, you know, maybe is enhanced by the option of Chalitza, you know, and Chalitza, you know, is defined, you know, by the outrage or the disappointment, you know, of Yibum, you know, that creates certain parallels in addition to the simultaneous choice that you wouldn't otherwise have. And therefore, like, thinking, oh, like, if I were, you know, yinging instead of yanging, you know, I wouldn't be making a bracha. Can you verbalize a yin and a yang? I keep looking to Eitan for, perhaps for both Eitans. Can you verbalize a yin and a yang? Can you say yinging and yanging?
Yes.
You could. Okay, I don't want to pressure you, but okay. I think you can. I think you should be able to. So, so the whole idea of, you know, the bracha, you know, or again the itur, right? Has a slightly different version of this. You know, there's no bracha b'chalitza because of olali yibum. But because there's no bracha on Yibum because of tznius. Like, that's even stranger in a way. Right? You can't make a bracha on Yibum because of tznius, assuming you didn't make a bracha on Bia either. We saw that data earlier in the year. Since you can't make a bracha on Yibum, you can't make a bracha, you know, on Chalitza. Even though the reason that you can't make the bracha on Yibum has nothing to do with why you can't make the bracha, you know, on Chalitza. Right? It's almost like the, again, parallel opposite of the Gemara in Ksuvah Safayin Dalid, where the Gemara says, you know, that Gemara challenges the question, we talked about this Gemara, of Shlichus, you know, Bekidushe Bia. Gemara says, how can there be Shlichus Bekidushe Bia? I'm sorry, how can there be Tnai Bekidushe Bia? Sorry. After all, Kol Sheyeshno B'Shlichus, you know, Yeshno B'Tnai. And then the Gemara says, you know, you could, because Iska Shavayos L'Hadadi. So how can you say Iska Shavayos L'Hadadi when this has a Shlichus problem and that doesn't have a Shlichus problem? The answer is, because it's not, the Shlichus per se isn't the issue, it's the Bailos, it's the, you know, the Samchut, it's the whatever. And that's, you know, Iska Shavayos L'Hadadi. Here you have almost like, you know, you the opposite. You can't make a bracha on Yibum. You know, she can't make a bracha on Yibum because she's not mitzuvah. So it's not even a question. But she is mitzuvah, or she is shayach to make a bracha on chalitza. Or, you know, he can't make a bracha on Yibum because it's not tzanua. You know, but that has nothing to do with chalitza. So these kind of more arbitrary, we'll call them, or less understand. There's no common denominator that I'm aware of, you know, that, you know, makes this make sense, other than, you know, this idea that Yibum and Chalitza are alternatives, you know, and as different as they are, you know, they have to be parallel enough. It's kind of part of the decision making to choose the right alternative, or having them as alternatives is contingent upon, you know, certain parallels. I mean, that's the best I could do with it. There's a line in the Maarech HaZeruya where he talks about in terms of shlichus. We'll talk more about shlichus. But, you know, that Yibum, of course, is not nitan l'shlichus. They're similar to the Gemara in Ksuvas, right? What about chalitza? Is there shlichus l'chalitza? Right? So most Rishonim say that this is a, you know, the more obvious davar shebegufo type problem. By which I mean, like, you know, the, you know, you... physically, the cheftza of the person is used, you know, in the process of chalitza. And, you know, maybe that's not something that is transferable through shlichus. It's a davar shebegufo. However, in the Maarech HaZeruya line is more like, well, there's no shlichus li'ibum, you know, so there's no shlichus l'chalitza. So, wow. Again, there could have been another reason, by the way. In addition to being not a davar shebegufo, technically, because you need the chefts of the person, it could also have been, you know, that the other, you know, the more expansive idea of davar shebegufo, certainly the way Reb Chaim understood it, I think he talked about it last year, and that is, you know, that you can only... hand off, you know, things over which you have jurisdiction, where you're a bailiff. But you can't hand off, you know, physical actions, which is different than what I said a second ago. You certainly can't hand off physical actions which require, you know, a personal cheftza of your body, you know, component, right? But let's say to do an action on your behalf where you're just doing a maisa. There's no chalos connected to the maisa. You're not legally, you know, transforming something or creating something. I don't mean like the chalos of ishus. It could be, let's say, even kinyanim or something like that. Just doing a physical action that doesn't require your body necessarily, or the chefts of your foot or things of that sort. So Reb Chaim thought that's really the idea, you know, of davar shebegufo. Like the same reason that there's no, I mentioned this last year, shlichus, you know, bidvar mitzvah, there's no shlichus bidvar aveira. You know, maybe that's the pshat in divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, you know, divrei mi yakum, not just like a, you know, it's a teretz, it's a, like a patur. It's more like, you know, you can't farm out an aveira because you don't have bailus over the aveira. You're not, whole point is you're not supposed to do it. So if you're talking about chalitza and yibum, this goes to the question of edi kiyum and Reb Chaim's comment in Hilchos Yibum Chalitza Perek Dalet. But the point is, like, are these yitziras achalos? Are these as physical actions? You know, how do you really understand? And there you might be mechalik to yibum and chalitza, but they may work very differently. That's why one of the things I wanted to look at is the question of shlichos and edikium, and we'll talk about them. But the point is this line that, you know, maybe the reason there's no shlichos, not because of the more technical or obvious dover shebegufo, and not because of what I'm suggesting, which is like a broader idea of ein shlichos, you know, b'maisa, which isn't a, like a kinyan or some sort. You know, but this idea that you would be able to do shlichos in chalitza if you could do it in yibum, you know, but you can't, even though, according to this perspective, the reason you can't is just very different. It's because yibum is a davar shebegufo, you know, even assuming that chalitza is not. Again, this, you know, this idea that somehow, you know, when you undermine the parallels, even if they don't, they're not compelling at all, that nonetheless it kind of takes away from the alternative motif or the decision that you're making. Again, I think there aren't so many indications of this, but that becomes a perspective on Kola Olali. If you're quoting Kola Olali Yibum for these kind of things, that obviously has nothing to do with, you know, Zika, you know, the level of Hafkas Yibum, even the Mechayev of Chalitza as a Tikkun, etc. By the same token, I'm going to stop here one second just by the question of whether you can flip the order, you know, of the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza, you know, may also be relevant to this. Did you want to ask something?
Yes, Marav, is it clear that he's making a broad application, or is this his way of saying Rebbe's idea?
Maybe.
But that Yibum...
But calling it Kola Ola Li Yibum is... And thus what he means... You have it?
Yeah, he just says...
What's the number again?
Kof Kof Ches.
Yeah.
He asks...
So it could be. I thought of this also. You mean if Yibum is a davar shebeguf, or in this other sense, so then chalitza is too. I'm just saying it's so. Put it this way. Either way, it raises question marks. Right. Okay. Yeah. There's also a discussion there about Cheresh v'Chareshes, which we'll get back to. And the Marachar Zorich may be relevant to this. So we'll get back to that. Okay. So let me leave you today on this note. What about the opposite direction? So again, if the common denominator, you know, perspective of Zika. So in theory, it shouldn't matter which direction you're going, except that, you know, in fact, you know, what is going to highlight more that there's no Zika, right? The absence of Yibum or the absence of Chalitza, you know. So likely, you know, you would... I can't imagine a scenario, it doesn't mean there isn't one, where chalitza, you know, would be the shiur for yes or no zika for yibum, you know, rather than vice versa. Okay. But in theory, just, you know, it's not, all I want to say is that technically, you know, if the common denominator of zika is the yisod of kola olev, so it's not in the direct, it's not that yibum is koveya legabe chalitza either. It's just the common denominator. I'm just pointing out that typically the shiur for that common denominator would come from yibum because A, it's preferred, B, it's the sensitive one, you know, and so on. However, Or just to go further, if the idea, you know, was that this is a din in chalitza, namely it's a kind of a tikkun for the yibum, so there has to be, like, you know, the real choice of yibum, you know, absent, like, the ability to do yibum, whether it's befoal or a little more than that. But again, it's not a common denominator, but it's also not exeris hakasuv, you know, or an alternative idea. It's the idea of, you know, you're not going to, you know, undergo this messy, you know, accentuation of, you know, the avelus and the misa and the klala and all this, you know, if the person has no choice. It's just not shayach. That, of course, doesn't work in the other direction. You're not going to say, oh, there's no possibility of chalitza, there's no possibility of yibum. If you take the view that yibum requires, let's say, the safety valve of chalitza, you know, then that would make a lot of sense. You would have a parallel. You'd have, you know, kol she'en ol yibum ein ol chalitza, and you'd also have kol she'en ol chalitza ein ol yibum. I mean, they would be defined by the option of each other, but for a different reason. But certainly, again, if it's also, it's like, that's kind of the alternative idea, then it could work in the other direction as well. So what we find, what do we find, Jacob, about that? Is it to go in the other direction?
And discussion about it. So Tosus on Memdalit.
Yeah, so a couple of Tosus on Memdalit. We're going to stop here, but Tosus on Memdalit, two of them, right? One regarding?
I was thinking about the one about Chareshes.
Yeah, that's the second one. That Cheresh and Chareshes, Tosus says...
There's no,
that the only reason that there's yibum, you have a line there? Go ahead.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
The small tosis. So Tosis is troubled. Why would there be yibum if there's no chalitza, which assumes that chalitza is a prerequisite for yibum, right? Which is not so obvious. And Tosis basically says, in Achanami, the principle is correct, but if it's a purely technical. You know, that's also a chiddush. I mean, if it's just, you know, practically they can't do chalitza, not that they're mufka mi chalitza, so that's also a chiddush, because you might have thought, if it's a safety valve idea, then maybe he has to have the alternative. Here he doesn't have the alternative, right? But if it's more of a, oh, like, you know, these are, you know, two mitzvos at the same time you have to have, but part of the hagdara is that you have to have the choice, you know? So then maybe you don't have to have, you do have the choice, it's just one of them is not, I mean, they're both out there. She's bas chalitza and she's a bas yibum. You know, you just can't do it. Right? The earlier Tosis also, you have that?
Yes.
It's a little more complicated. Maybe we'll pick up with that on Thursday, but what, yeah.
So there he has a line.
He's trying to negate the girsa, right? Then maybe it'd be miyabim, even though, yeah, go ahead.
So he says, so Yisro and Degarsi, Mikameha, Vinachos, Lachada, Vinayabim, Lachada, Amir Kurash, Ilu, Yvne, Kinish, Lobana, Shulo, Yvne, Nir, the Logarsina, Lutzer, Kurla, Haki, Kavin, the Khalid, Lachada, Yasho, Yavin, Shin, Kavin, the In, Ola, Lachalit, Lamalael,
because you can't be Cholets, Lishte Batim, we'll talk about it a little bit. So it's clear that there's no yibum, right? So Tosus is assuming that the potential for chalitza is a prerequisite for yibum. If you look at the Ramban, you know, he has a lot of the Tosus discussion and he omits that part. Even in Tosa, two deos, right? So, and this, of course, appears also, I think, on Yudam Beis in Tosus, right? As a dea. So this is a very fascinating argument. That maybe the most famous... Is Jacob?
The Rambam and Sanhedrin. I
and Malachim. Yeah. Based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Well, we'll stop with that. What does Rambam say?
The Rambam says there that since a Malach can't do, the reason why, since a Malach can't do Chalitza because it's going to be Bizayim, it's Yarkin Bafana, therefore a Malach can't do Yibam.
Right. You have a line? 100%. Base Gimel. Nukas Malachim. And he has it in both directions there. Right? Yeah, go ahead. What's Malachim Beis Gimel, yeah, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin?
So just start from the even then.
Oh. Yeah, so the Rambam has it in both directions. And a lot of the Nosa Kalim say, like, where did he get that idea from? Okay, so we'll analyze this a little more, and some of these other cases, and some of the other things I gave you to look at as well. Yitzhak Shem, when we finish with this on Thursday. Okay, thank you. Yeah.